Gallery 2. Audio description for the framed print titled Fire Mask. Lee Miller, 1941, London. Lee Miller Archives, East Sussex, England. On entering Gallery 2 on the south wall, which is on the right-hand side, is the London at War section. The third frame from the left is a black and white photograph of two masked female models seated outdoors by the entrance to an underground air raid bunker. The slightly larger black frame is in portrait orientation and about 74 centimetres high by 54 centimetres wide. The image within it is about 25 centimetres and square in shape. The overall feel of this image is angular, quirky and surreal. It is deliberately both sinister and absurd. The photograph has been taken at quite close quarters, so there is no horizon or sky visible. The rustic wooden doors of the shelter are flung open, creating an angular frame against the grassy mound into which the shelter is built. Behind the shelter, in the near distance, is a brick wall. At the top left-hand corner of the image, we get a partial glimpse of a rendered sculptural feature. The two young models are sitting close together within the wooden frame and between the wooden doors, with their legs disappearing into the shaft of the bunker. They sit on newspaper pages to protect their outfits from the dirt beneath them. Effectively, the models are seated with their backs to the viewer, but they both turn their bodies around to their right so that they face us. Despite their facial features being wholly or partially obscured by the fire masks, the women stare unapologetically into the camera. We can see more of the face of the fair woman in the centre foreground of the image. She looks to be in her early 20s. The model has fair to mousy hair, which is cropped and slightly wavy. It is neatly combed and set, with a side parting on her right. She has an oval face shape, fluid jawline and delicate chin. She wears flawless naturalistic makeup. Her smooth, pale skin contrasts with the dark, stylish utility outfit consisting of a dark, long-sleeved jumper with a rounded neckline. The cotton drill bottoms, likely to be trousers, are only partially visible. In her manicured right hand, she clasps a rounded silver air raid precaution whistle, which is threaded onto a thick spiral cord. The most striking part of her outfit is a protective eye mask designed to minimise eye trauma from bright flashes. Possibly made of a thick reinforced card, the eye mask extends across the face, covering from the mid-forehead to the top of the cheekbone. It is cut away at the bridge to reveal the model's nose and has a strap that fits around the back of her head. The most unsettling feature of this mask is that the eyes are entirely covered except for two upright slitted crosses, like plus signs. Although her eyes are not visible, the model's facial expression and demeanour are both confident and defiant. The full face mask being worn by the second model is even more surreal. It appears to be a heavy-looking metal square that completely obscures her face. The black gloss paint is scuffed and scratched. The model's eyes can be seen peeking out from behind the rounded eye holes. It has a long triangular nose plate that has a central rib running vertically down it, giving it a beaky appearance. Two small shiny rivets on either side by the eye holes presumably hold the buckled head strap that can be partially seen tied up behind the left side of the mask. The second model also wears a stylish, yet utilitarian outfit. Hers consists of a short-sleeved ribbed jumper in a dark woolen material, with a contrasting pale collar, narrowing into sharp points. Her arms are mostly bare, and her right arm appears foreshortened. Her hands are placed on her lap and are slightly obscured behind her colleague. The bottoms she wears are probably also trousers, and appear to be made from a woolen fabric.